Hey, everybody. Thank you for joining us for today's episode of Real Estate Disruptors. Today, we've got Andrew LeBaron with Trusted Cash Offers. And he's here to share how he's not only generating six figures a month wholesaling, but he also has four more businesses that are purely run by virtual assistants overseas. If this is your first time tuning in, I'm Steve Trang, broker owner of Stunning Homes Realty, co-founder of the OfferFast app, the one thing you need to wholesale in this business. And I help people become real estate entrepreneurs. If you're excited for today's show, please give me some waves, give me some hearts. And before we get started, I did start this show because I wanted to give back to our community. I started young and struggled quite a bit. I know you struggled quite a bit. And what we want to do is shortcut that struggle for as many young real estate leaders as possible. So I don't charge a dime for this show. I don't make any money doing this. So here's all I ask. This is what it costs you. If you get any value out of this show, please tell a friend, share this episode, tag a friend below, or tell them your best takeaway from the show later on. That way we can all grow together. And don't forget, this is a live show. We're not only live today on Facebook, we're also live on YouTube. So we're going big time today.
Heck yeah.
So if you have any questions, please post them below and Andrew will be happy to answer them for you. You ready?
I'm ready.
All right. So what got you into real estate?
Cool. All right. So served a mission for my church for 2 years and came home, decided I wanted to be a physician's assistant. So went to the hospital. I shadowed this guy.
At what age?
I was 21.
Okay.
I was 21. I didn't know what I wanted to do before that. I wanted to be something doctor, something medical. So okay. That was cool. I just wanted money. Like really. I just wanted money. Just
all of us.
Let's make money.
Yeah.
So I show up to the hospital and I look around. And it's just white walls, moaning people, sadness. I said, I can't do this. It's not for me. These people are great. They need help. That's why you're here.
Right.
That's not me. Mm-hmm. So I jumped away from that and I said, let's join a call center. So I jumped into a call center at Chase Bank, dropping names, Chase Bank. My mom helped me get the job. I was like, nice. Mom, please help. So she helped me get the job and I rose up the ladder pretty quickly. I was bilingual. I was a manager and just customer service wasn't not a big deal. I was making like 40 something thousand a year. Life was great. And
not bad for 21.
Not bad. Yeah. Not bad. Yeah. Yeah. People with degrees were probably making the same as me.
Right.
It was fine.
Yeah.
I just hustled. And I got a phone call one day and this phone call changed my life. This guy says, hey, Andrew, I need the payoff quote for all 10 of my properties. Now, if you don't know mortgages, you have a mortgage. If you eventually want to sell your house, you got to get a payoff quote. So I got 10 payoff quotes ordered. I said, hold on, you need 10. And these are each in different names. Like you, sir, are not the owner of these mortgages. Mm-hmm. And he says, no, I know. I own the homes though. I said, what? You own the homes, but you're not on the mortgage. I don't understand. So I said, okay. He said, yeah, I'm about to make some like $4 million off of these properties. Southern California properties. Super ghetto, and he acquired these properties for super cheap. So I got on the phone with him afterwards. I spoke to him and I said, hey, how'd you do that? He said, I took over these properties creatively. And if you want to learn more, I'm not going to teach you. So I was like, dude, I'm in the wrong business. I want to do that. I like that. I love sales.
Right.
And that's when I discovered sales. I love sales. In the call center, I learned how to work with, funny enough, Filipinos. Mm-hmm. I was manager over both bilingual Spanish and also some Filipinos in the Manila call center. And I just learned how operations worked. I learned how delegation worked. I learned how outsourcing worked. And that's how I learned real estate.
Interesting. So you got in, I think did you jump straight into with True Freedom Achievers or did you have another?
What I did after that, I hung around on biggerpockets.com and I just found that was a great place to ask questions. I was asking all the newbie questions like what's a loan or how do I get a loan? What does ARV mean? All the dumb questions. Mm-hmm. I find a house on Hubzu and I decide to ask a friend of mine for some money to buy this house. And this friend's like, you're crazy. No. And I said, please. They said, yes. So we bought this home on Hubzu for $110,000. It was on Becker Lane, and if you want the exact address, PM me, I'll show you. And it was on Becker Lane. We bought it for $110,000. We put like $10,000 into it, and we sold it for $145,000. It was like a dream come true. We barely made any money. I mean, it wasn't a lot, but I'm like, we made our money back, and then some. So
right.
Let's keep going.
Well, not losing money on your first one is like a win.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, it was a huge win.
Yeah.
So my first deal wasn't even a wholesale deal. Okay. It was a fix and flip,
right?
Which was scary, and I hated it. So from there, I started generating leads, lots of leads. I learned how to do direct mail. And that was when direct mail was hot. It was about 4 years ago. And from there, I met a couple people from a company named True Freedom Achievers, and they're fantastic. Good guys, good group of guys. They still buy from me. And I became an acquisition agent for them and just hustled until I learned all the ropes, and they knew I needed to be a chief and build my own thing.
So what were some of your early struggles, you know, buying that one with Hubzu or working with TFA? What are some of the early struggles that you faced?
Early struggles was, in my mind, I hated my job because I realized the potential of making a lot more in real estate. So imagine that gnawing on your spine every morning. You could make so much more, but you're shackled to this 9-to-5. That was a big struggle. From there, I think just generating leads. If we want to go backwards to buying that house, I thought it was made. I ran into so many issues buying the home. After we bought the home, I ran into a septic issue, which there's a septic tank on big mountain block of Sunny Slope, which is such a pain because you can't rebuild it. It was so close to the sewer line that Phoenix Code makes you connect it to the sewer line. There's a new law that came out, and I need to brush up on my Phoenix laws, but that's what they stated. So I had a septic inspector come out and wink at it, and he's like, yeah, approved. So it worked. It worked. It was barely working, but it worked. The next guy that bought it from me knew that it needed to be fixed, but we got it done. Lots of snags.
All right.
So it made me really hate rehabs, like super hate rehabs.
So knowing what you know today, what will you do differently?
You know what? I think I needed to have that experience.
Yeah.
I needed to have that experience so that I knew right off the bat that rehabs wasn't for me. We'll do some rehabs throughout the year, but not a ton. We'd rather just give you a layup. So someone else can hold the hammer to it. What I would do differently is quit sooner. Quit my job sooner. Jump out faster.
Right. So I was doing some research on you before we met.
All right.
And I saw that you wrote a kid book.
I did. I did.
Freddy Flips Houses?
Yeah, Freddy Flips Houses.
What's that about?
It's an Amazon book. You can go check it out. Honestly, it was just a project for me to really teach people how to do real estate. It was a project so I could teach my family. My family's like, what do you do? And I'm like into real estate about 6 months. I'm like, I do real estate. What does that mean? I flip houses. Let me show you how I do it. So I wanted to reflect the project on Becker Lane. So that I wanted to say, hey, here's a book. Like, read what I do. Freddie did it. You know, you could do it. I did it. And that's what I did. I actually hired a VA to write the book.
Oh, really?
And make all the illustrations. I didn't.
Very cool. Have you done anything with that book since? I mean, or is it just kind of hidden out there?
It's hidden, man. If you guys want to buy it, I mean, it's. I think it's like $2. So
four, but
oh, it's four. Okay, jumped.
But we'll get the discount. We'll buy direct.
There you go. Buy direct.
Okay, and then I also happened to watch your mission call video.
All right.
And there are two
chubby chubs.
There were two takeaways from there. You were chubby.
I was big.
How old were you?
I was at that time. I was 18.
Yeah.
Almost 19. Yeah. I was 18, and I was 200 and almost 70, 265.
Man, that's heavy.
Yeah, I was big. I was
okay. So that was the first thing I learned about you from that video. And the second thing is you were built for Facebook Live. Because watching you do that YouTube video and watching a YouTube video, your Facebook Lives today, it's not that different.
Yeah, just bright, be up in front of the camera. That's what it is. Be the true you.
Right. So the other thing, too, is, you know, we talked about with Carlos and Sal and
some
of the
guys.
Other people, awesome people.
Awesome guys.
And we feel like we have a little bit of a chip on our shoulder, which turns into an advantage. And being that we're immigrants, we weren't born here. And I know we've known each other for a little bit of time, and you've shared with me that you were adopted. So do you think that's played into any kind of factor at all in your?
Absolutely. I was raised, I was adopted at 9 days old in Phoenix. I was raised by two amazing people, love them to death, some of my best friends. My mom and dad raised me really well. I learned I was adopted at age 8. And when you learn you're adopted, the strangest thing happens to you. There's like this aura that comes around your head and you just say, okay, everybody around me is different. My family's not the same as me. My mom's not the same as me.
So there was a
me.
Shift.
There was a shift.
Okay.
There was a shift. But it was a slow grow. It was a slow gradual shift. Because when you're 8 years old, you don't get it. But you grow up with that mindset saying, I'm different. I look at my mom. I don't have that nose. I don't have those eyes. So I'm different. Now I know I'm different. I'm meant to be different. And so when you grow, when you're raised meant to be different, it's so easy to do stupid things. and to be silly or to be yourself because you're already different. Like, mm-hmm. you can't change that. I can't unadopt myself.
Right.
So I've asked, so many people have asked me that question, and that's what I respond. I grew loving different, to be different.
Embraced it. So what are some stupid things that you did?
We won't go through all the stupid things I did. You could ask some of my senior friends at Highland High School what I did, but no, just kidding. we won't go over there. I just didn't care what people thought of me.
Right. You
know? For example, I'm a vegan. Mm-hmm. I don't care. I had a lot of flack from that. I don't care. I'm a Mormon. You know, mm-hmm. Obviously that's a natural thing. People give you flack for mm-hmm. that. Anytime you have a belief or something that's not, it's a minority, people are going to give you flack. I just don't care.
Well, just understand, if anything ever goes down, I'm going to your house.
Come on
for
over.
For safekeeping. Okay. So what are some things that you're passionate about, or is there any one particular thing you're most passionate about?
Number one, I am passionate about helping other people. I know it's so cliche, mm-hmm. but I mean, I think it shines through. I really hope it does. When I see other people win, that gets me going. Mm-hmm. Whether I make money or not, it just gets me riled up. For 2 years of my life, I served a mission. That wasn't for pay. That was free. I knocked on doors for free. So
great practice, by the way.
It was great practice.
Yeah.
My door approach is solid. But I love to see lives change. Mm-hmm. That's my number one and ultimate passion.
Yeah. And you know, it's funny also, like my buddy, my best friend, I talk to him once a month on accountability. And we talk about figures and how my business is looking. And about once a quarter, he's like, you're an idiot for owning a brokerage. It's like, fold that sucker down and just focus on what makes you the most money, which is wholesaling and flipping, right? I always tell him, like, but you're missing the part where it's really fulfilling. Like, I'm changing lives. Lives are getting better because of what I do.
It's also
like,
another marketing avenue.
Yeah.
It's another stream of income too. So
no, not really.
No. Well, you got to write something off every year.
Well, yes, there's plenty of write-offs. That's just true. Okay. So what does your organization look like today?
Today we have around 20, 20 people mm-hmm. that work with us.
Yeah.
It's Isaac Moore and myself as the founders of these multiple companies. We have a couple companies. Mm-hmm. Each company has its own purpose.
So he's a partner in each one of these companies.
He's a partner in each one of these companies.
Cool.
Yeah. I would even say Isaac brings more deals to the table than I do.
Okay.
He's just very good at closing. He's very good at sourcing and bringing in deals.
So he's the one I should be hanging out with.
Yeah, he's the one.
Okay.
Praise to Isaac. I'm just here. I'm the spokes guy.
Right.
I'm the mascot. I should be like in a dog outfit. But so it's Isaac and myself. We have an executive team, which mm-hmm. consists of three virtual assistants, one being an executive over everyone else, and that's Pamela Sanchez. She's mm-hmm. fantastic. We've actually made her an owner of another company.
Very cool.
She's growing that company. It's called VA Dream Jobs, mm-hmm. where we bring Filipinos to a career. Mm-hmm. They get to select a career in real estate and work with us and work with our clients. So that is our team. We have some acquisition guys, Darren Bodle and Darian Owens. Mm-hmm. We have a sundry of other acquisition people that are realtors, not officially with us mm-hmm. on our team, but they bring us many deals.
Yeah.
And the rest are virtual assistants.
Okay. So how many acquisition guys do you guys have right now?
We have two officially. Non-officially, we have five or six.
So you got Darian and Darren.
Darian and Darren.
And then what's the unofficial? Who are those people?
These are just other realtors, just people that bring us deals constantly.
Affiliates.
Yeah, I would say more affiliates.
Okay.
I probably wouldn't drop their name, but they...
That's fine.
Yeah, I don't want you to steal my acquisition guys. So
no, I can stalk you. I can go through your path. Okay, what about dispositions? What about unloading the properties?
Unloading the properties, all virtual. It's 100% virtual team. So
okay, what does that mean?
They are all in the Philippines. Mm-hmm. So Jeriel Castell, he mm-hmm. and you'll see him around on some of my Facebook pages. He will post properties in Facebook and over 100 pages in Facebook, over 10 Craigslist posts. We're psycho when it comes to dispositions. Let's see, Facebook, Craigslist, the email blast, which mm-hmm. is over 33,000 buyers. We're going to be expanding in other states here soon, so mm-hmm. we're building email lists in those other markets as well. Instagram, we need to up our game in Instagram. We need to be better. Yeah, most social media and LinkedIn.
LinkedIn even, okay. Mm-hmm. So how many cold callers do you have?
We have right now just two. We had a partnership with somebody, and mm-hmm. I've told you about this.
Mm-hmm.
There was a little bit of a divide, And I guess we'll just be real, but there's a little bit of a divide between us and this company. So we had to rebuild from the ground up.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of sad times, but right now we have two cold callers on a dialer.
Right.
And I would say the majority of our deals are not just cold calls, though. The majority of our deals are referral-based.
Right, so they're brought to you.
They're brought to us.
So let's talk about that, because, I mean, I was planning on asking this later on, but...
We could just cut scene to Jamil's show, like, literally just, boom, Jamil's show, that's what we do.
Right.
No.
Well, so branding is a very big piece of your business. So let's talk about that. I mean, what compelled you to start branding, and then how are you executing that vision? So let's start with what compelled you to start branding so hard? Because you made a shift, I want to say like 4 months ago, like bam, we're going to be the brand.
Mm-hmm.
So let's talk about that.
Absolutely. Okay, so when I began in real estate, we did direct mail. Mm-hmm. We did postcards, we did yellow letters. I got really good. I started using yellow letters without the envelopes. I just tabbed them to save money. I mean, we use variable data. We'd send it to absentee owners. We'd alternate between postcards and letters. We're really good. Like my cost per lead was like, it was around like $40, which is expensive.
That's amazing for sellers.
Yeah, it wasn't too bad.
Yeah. Right,
it actually started out over $200 a lead, but we got it down.
Yeah.
And then it started going back up again. We're like, whoa, mm-hmm. direct mail sucks. Like it's not working. Nothing's changed except competition has changed.
Right.
I think the psychology of sellers have changed.
Mm-hmm.
They start realizing that there's a lot of direct mail out there. There's commercials saying, throw away those yellow letters, throw away, you know, people totally dissing the what we do.
Right.
So I had to make a shift and I said, what's gonna last forever?
Mm-hmm.
And that's social media. It's not going anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
It's an addiction. Everyone's addicted. You probably look at your Facebook app, I would say over 30 times a day. And if you look at it that many times a day, okay, I wanna be on each of those looks.
Right.
I wanna be there. I wanna be on 29 of those.
Mm-hmm.
If I don't get the last one, that's fine. You're probably checking out your new car or whatever, that's
mm-hmm.
fine. But I wanna be there. So we said, let's create a plan, let's create a strategy where we can be the brand on social media. If we can be the brand on social media, that's just a small little niche. That doesn't include showcasing, that doesn't include a booth at Asria, that doesn't include, you know, all the other, there's so many different ways to market.
Mm-hmm.
Or billboards, we just wanted social media. That's all we're gonna choose. Let's
yeah.
pick one simple thing. And from there, we made the decision to plan posts, we organized posts, we added a tremendous value. I took some of Gary V's training, Gary Vaynerchuk's training, which is amazing. He has a lot of free stuff, so I just compiled it and read through it. It's amazing.
Oh, yeah.
And then suddenly, just deals poured in.
Mm-hmm. Like,
help me sell this deal. Okay, no problem. I'll send you an agreement. They sign it. I get it sold like 2 seconds later.
Right.
It was a beautiful thing. And we just kept building and building and building. So that's where it was. Branding.
Okay.
Branding's going to last with you forever. A direct mail strategy won't.
Right. It's true, very true. So I've noticed you posting, you know, I wouldn't call them images, but little stories on these various groups. So let's talk about the strategy behind it, and then after that, how do you guys execute it?
Nobody cares about what you know. Nobody mm-hmm. cares about what you have to say.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody cares about a story.
Right.
That's why Disney does so well.
Yeah.
That's why Disney's crushing it right now, because they're very good at building stories.
Mm-hmm.
So they take stories, they put images to it, and suddenly Pixar is blowing up as a multi-billion-dollar company.
Mm-hmm.
To put that into a social media post, it will make you just as lucrative. I don't know about multi-billion, maybe
right.
someday, but you need to create a story. People want to know there's a beginning, there's an issue, there's a solution, there's a falling action, and there's this beautiful image. Maybe
right.
there's no image. But the point is people want to be entertained.
Mm-hmm.
Do not, and I tell people, when you want to build a brand, when you want to build a following, be real, be a human being. If you're going to be someone who's Mr. Fun Fact of the Day, there's people out there like that. Hey, do you guys know that there's this like old broker guy that posts, did you guys know that 40 homeowners out of a 50 homeowner study showed that they'd rather sell their house in 30 days, then 60. I mean, it's just like nobody cares.
Right.
They want the raw you.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. They want vulnerability.
Well, the thing that you do a really good job of with those stories is that you're inside the wholesaler's head, right? Those are problems we run into all the time.
That's right.
So, how do you go from like, okay, here's something I want to do? Who comes up with the story? You come up with a story?
Yeah, so a lot of times our marketing team,
mm-hmm.
they'll pick different topics. So
mm-hmm.
our marketing team goes through these different pages,
mm-hmm.
whether it's wholesaling houses full time, Alex, I'll send you an invoice later. Whether it's wholesaling houses uncensored or whatever, we pick different topics. Okay, so direct mail,
right?
Door knocking, driving for dollars. Mm-hmm. So these different topics, and I collate these topics, and I write down all the problems in these topics. What are the problems people are having? Because problems are all we care about. How do we solve them? That we don't care about anything else. We don't care about, I mean, we might care about someone's check that they post. Mm-hmm. Oh, someone made 30K. Yeah, it's cool. It's flashy. It's fun. But I want my problem solved because I want to make that 30K check.
All right.
Maybe the check gets them to read the post. It's a very good tactic. Not mine, but very good tactic.
Right.
So
good for building an audience. Not good for connecting.
Not good for connecting. Not a deep, intimate, personal level.
Right.
So you do need to get in their head, like you stated. Mm-hmm. So we pick those topics and we pick problems or questions that people will have. And so that's how I climb into their brain. It's like I pull it apart and say, hey, I've been where you are.
Right.
You're probably wondering why your bank account only has a couple thousand in it, and you got 5,000 in expenses you got to pay next week, and you need a deal, and nothing's converting.
Right.
Okay. Now suddenly everyone's glued to the screen.
Yeah.
What do I do?
Exactly. Okay.
And so from there, I provide a solution. And it's not the end-all solution. Mm-hmm. It's probably just in a specific niche. Here's what works for me. And it's all based on what helps me in the moment. Some of it doesn't work for everybody. You know, if you're in a different market, it might not work for you.
Yeah.
But for me, this is what helped.
Very cool. So you got the story. You got what you want to get out there, the message.
Mm-hmm.
Who executes the storyboard?
So we have a team that creates the copy.
Mm-hmm.
So we have it's copywriting. So they create the copy and we edit it. And if it's on my personal page, I'll edit it. I'll look at it and say, I don't like how that's said. State, obviously in the Philippines, they're very good and very literate, extremely amazing, really good speakers of English and writers of English, surprisingly.
Yeah.
But sometimes it just doesn't flow like what we would say in America or in Arizona. So I'll adjust it. I'll add the emojis. Actually, they add the emojis. I'll replace them.
Mm-hmm.
And if it's on my wall, a lot of times I'll make those posts and put them out there.
Yeah.
If it's on other walls or wholesaling house full time, we'll get those created. So they build it. And I look at it. They go through probably 3 or 4 different drafts, and then we put it out there.
And you feel like in putting out these stories, you're getting more relationships and contacts.
Yeah, I got about 400 people I haven't even talked to. I mean, they've sent me messages.
Yeah.
Yeah, like I got to go through those. And it's unfortunate. That's honestly something I need to be better at. Like I need to go every night and answer all these people's questions.
Like Gary Vee says.
Yeah, you have to. He says that in Crush It.
Like, yeah,
you need
I know.
To spend,
I read it.
Yeah, you need to spend it in Crushing. Excuse me. You need to spend, all your days just answering all these people. And these people ask really good questions. A lot of them just say, hey, can you help me?
Yeah.
Hey, can I bug you for like 10 minutes?
Well, because we're good friends, all you gotta do is just give me your Facebook login and I will answer their questions.
Awesome. Okay, perfect.
All right. I will work for free.
Awesome.
For you.
That's a good solution. There you go. You provide a solution.
All right. So what, and we already talked about lead source. So lead source is referrals.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So do you have a favorite service for skip tracing?
We use Tracer's Info.
Tracer's Info.
Mm-hmm. There's a lot out there. I mean, I would say like the Mac Daddy would probably be DelfPoint or TLO. A lot of people like TLO.
Yeah.
They're great. And I think wholesalers are getting super savvy when they get to an enterprise level. They show up and they say, hey, Mr. DelfPoint, I want to purchase a package. Here's 100K. Like, can you give me 3 years?
Mm-hmm.
You know, whatever. I think that's awesome prepaying because you're going to have it for a long time. It's going to be very necessary and relevant. We use Tracers. We've negotiated a really good deal with them.
Mm-hmm.
And it's awesome. It's really good info. It's super close.
Well, we're looking at Tracers and they want like a DNA test and we're like,
they're insane.
Yeah.
they're really insane. And for that reason, I think they're more strict now than they were about 8 months ago, a year ago.
Yeah.
But to cultivate that relationship is so key.
Right.
So.
Okay. And then do you have any interesting war stories?
War stories?
Yeah.
For like real estate?
For what you're doing in the trenches right now, wholesaling. Flipping.
Well, I did sign a non-disparagement clause on a recent settlement.
So besides that one.
And everybody knows that one.
besides that one.
And I can't tell you about it even if you PM me. So sorry. besides that one, I do got one. So I had a really silly buyer. And I'll just say silly buyer. I won't say his name. Purchased a property from us.
Mm-hmm.
And there were tenants in the property. So we had an escrow holdback. And the escrow holdback is a tool or it's a strategy where the seller doesn't get all the money until the tenants are out of the house, which is great. And I would say 100% necessary, especially in investing. Everybody's like showing up like, look, I'm on hard money. Like I'm not giving you your 10K.
Yeah.
So there's a period and it's called a performance period that they need to be out by a certain amount of time. Now it needs to be by, I would say by law, it needs to be long enough so that you can actually have ample time to evict. Mm-hmm. You can't just have a period like, okay, 10 days, you need to get your tenants out, escrow holdback, I'm keeping that money. Legal won't let it happen.
Right.
So we had this long period of time, I think it was 60 days, which is exactly the amount of time you're going to need for a formal eviction, but you got to get your crap together. You got to get going. So the buyer didn't do it, and the seller is wondering where when he's going to get his 10K. And the buyer's like, oh, well, your tenants are still inside. I'm not giving that to you. Mm-hmm. Well, it's actually not the buyer's issue. It's held at escrow. So right. It's inside the title company. The title company's like, Andrew, seller's really upset, came down to the office and is knocking on the door, wants the money, talking to Isaac too. And we're just like, we're kind of out of the deal. It closed. Mm-hmm. Like, we double closed it. Like, we're out of this. So I don't know why title was contacting us, which is really weird. Mm-hmm. I guess we're still in the transaction if our name was on it. I don't know. But anyways, a seller lost the money.
Really?
Yeah. Well, it's at legal right now, but I think they're just going to split it. Usually what they do is they split it right down the middle.
That's the cheapest, because once you get attorneys involved, it gets really expensive.
I think so, yeah.
Yeah. So what would you consider to be some of your critical components to your success?
Well, your favorite word. Grit. Mm-hmm. That's your favorite word.
Yeah.
I know. I counted it. All the times we hung out, all the times you post online, you actually stated it 2,326 times. Grit. So I would say grit, tenacity, an undeniable desire to win, and also defining what is winning. Mm-hmm. So your why. You know, right. If you don't have a strong why, you're not going anywhere. A Lamborghini is not strong enough.
No, it's not.
It could be. It could be up to Lamborghini. But once you get that Lambo, where are you going?
Exactly. So, I mean, you kind of opened that can. So what is your why?
My why is to help and serve people, help and serve the world. Specifically, the poverted or poverty-stricken areas of the Philippines. Mm-hmm. Love the Philippines, South America as well. I really want to give back. I want to build those areas. I think they're extremely talented.
Yeah.
Very, like, I think the Philippines is more talented than we can realize.
I already know they are.
Yeah. I had an Excel spreadsheet with like 20 pivot tables made in under 5 minutes. Like, I don't know any American that can do that. So just saying. And they can speak 100% English, and they're very clear, and they're very kind. I really want to help develop many parts of that country.
Yeah. So very cool.
That's my why.
So what is your biggest hurdle right now?
Ooh, right now, I would say speed and growth and scale.
Okay. So what does that mean?
It's a big bottleneck. Well, that means I have a lot of bottlenecks, and I want to grow and scale. Training large groups of people so that they can sound proficient on the phone, so they know exactly how to rebuttal any objection. Growing a larger general VA admin for our other companies like BuyMoreTime.com and RentForProfit.com. It's a slow grow. I wish it wasn't so slow. I'm very much a do it all right now at once. I think that's what helps me anyways, but it's also my detriment.
Right.
Isaac keeps me on the ground.
Good.
Speed of growth is a big hurdle for me because I'm just so impatient.
So I had the opportunity to go through coaching with Darren Hardy. And what he said was more businesses fail for growing too fast than too slow. So I would caution you.
Very good.
To just be happy with the growth if you're growing with positive monthly net.
Perfect. It is positive.
Yeah. So as long as you're making money every month, just don't rush it. Because I know as entrepreneurs, we want to get it done right now. And it's hard, right, to be patient. But the long game is what normally wins. And then the other thing about the group, you know, trying to coach all those people or get them in the right speed. Are you the one that's doing the group calls? Are you doing the role playing? Are you listening to the calls?
No.
So that's a great challenge for all of us. And I found it helpful to listen to the calls and then coach them on afterwards. It's on me for not consistently doing it. You know, I should be doing it every single week. I do it every other week. But that was the reason why I was so impressed when Carlos and Sal said they've got one person whose job is to quality control that. So, I mean, I don't know if that's an option for you.
Oh, yeah. When you said, do you do it? That's what I mean. I don't do it. I have a VA do it.
But you have a VA do it, but you're still.
Yeah, we'll come in occasionally and listen to the calls and see how they're doing. If our numbers, for example, leads converted is lower, we'll wonder, well, what's going on? What's wrong with the calls? So it's either the list is the problem or the person on the phone's a problem.
Yeah.
Darren's calling me. Why is Darren? So it's either any of those issues.
Right.
But the other KPIs are going to indicate why the calls, or the KPIs will indicate what the issue is and where the snag is at. So it's our job to go in there and get it done.
So what are you using to track your KPIs?
Podio. We actually use two systems. We use Google Sheets.
Mm-hmm. It's a great program.
Yeah, it's awesome. There's a lot of different add-ons that we love that are always being built every day with automations in it. And we also use Podio. So
cool. And I think I heard you say InvestorFuse.
We did use InvestorFuse. They're really good. I actually work really closely with Dan Schwartz. Mm-hmm. Amazing, amazing individual. Specifically, InvestorFuse, not right now, but we're excited to work with Dan and his team and Carlos very soon. But I love InvestorFuse. I love the company. There's a couple things that I wanted to automate myself that was very niche.
Right.
We wanted to kind of keep it locked down. We didn't really want to share what that was. So, but yeah, we work really closely with them.
I was actually talking to someone this week because we use Podio. Mm-hmm. And we're looking at Scipio. So do you combine the two to create your automation?
Cool. Correct.
All right.
And we actually separate those. We do separate it because the APIs for Scipio are not compatible or not. Mm-hmm. They don't really communicate well Scipio.
Okay. All right. So we're going to have to spend like a half day working on that.
Seriously.
Okay. So what is your superpower?
I did the personality test.
Mm-hmm.
And it told me what my superpower was. And that's voices. Being a voice.
Yeah.
I'm a campaigner.
Mm-hmm.
Movement. Creating a movement.
Right.
So whenever they're kind of like what you're doing right now. This is a movement.
Yeah.
This is amazing. Real Estate Disruptors is fantastic. It's a multi-billion-dollar company right here. So
hopefully. Yeah. Thank you.
Well, real estate's in development. Real estate's in fix and flip, everything. So
you're
going to be talking to Warren Buffett next week, I'm sure. So
we're working on it. Everything's a work in
progress. He's a disruptor. But I would say my biggest power would be push, would be motivation.
Yeah.
It'd be motivation. Because I'm not good at the numbers. Mm-hmm. I like them, but I'm not good at them. I'm not good at operations.
Mm-hmm.
I like it, but I'm not good at it. Just all the other mindless tasks that need to be done. I know they need to be done, so I put people in place to get those done. So.
Yeah, and then I think that it's interesting because you say voices, right?
Mm-hmm.
But you're not like this big time extrovert, but your social media presence screams extrovert. So it's fascinating that your voices.
That's actually forced. Yeah, it's really forced. I could be happy with 20 books in my room and just read the books and just hang out. Do a couple Facebook lives, but nothing. I don't go in public. I'm totally fine with that.
Yeah.
I'm actually really comfortable with that. But I have to push myself a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
I do like to be out in the open, though. But it's not always.
Well, they say, most entrepreneurs are introverts. So going through Success Magazine, what Darren Hardy said was like, of all the people he interviewed, I think he said it was like only 20% were actually extroverts. So most successful entrepreneurs tend to be introverts. So, all right. So we kind of hinted on earlier. What are all your other businesses?
So we have Buy More Time. Mm-hmm. And excuse me. I have a lot here. We'll just put out all 10 of them. No, I'm kidding. They're not 10. So we have an acquisitions and dispositions company. Acquisitions company is called Trusted Cash Offer, which is what you mentioned earlier. Our disposition company is Live Cash Deals.
Okay,
those are the two real estate, wholesale, acquisition, disposition companies. We'll put those to the side.
Okay.
Along with those, I have buymoretime.com, which we help individuals, entrepreneurs. It could be a dentist, it could be a lawyer, mostly real estate investors, with VA services.
Okay.
So it's an agency. It's an agency founded by a VA, ran and owned by a VA. So they know. It's Pamela Sanchez.
That's almost Pamela's business.
Pamela's business.
Co-owner.
Correct. Yeah. She's a co-owner.
Very cool.
She totally knows it. She understands it. She gets it. She owns it. And that's the difference. It's not owned by Americans. It's owned by an actual Filipino.
Mm-hmm.
So buymoretime.com, rentforprofit.com. And that is a site where we lead you to a Facebook page that helps other people learn how to rent via rental arbitrage. So you don't have to buy a house. You lease a property from Steve Trang. You release it on a short-term rental, which would include Airbnb, VRBO, HomeAway, FlipKey, TripAdvisor. So
it's a lot of places.
Yeah.
Okay. So you coach people, or you teach them how to lease a property long-term and then rent it for more short-term over and over again.
Correct.
And that's like a coaching platform. That's a forum.
Yeah.
It's a lead source.
We have coaching set up. And that's on an individual basis. It depends on where you are. We schedule a call with you, and we see if you're in Alaska, it's going to be really difficult to communicate only by phone and by video, but we do it. We have some clients in other states that we help. You create a lease with the landlord and you sublease. It's an official sublease that you set up for short-term rental. You furnish it and everything.
And then does this tie into your lease option business?
Absolutely. So a lease option business or any other coaching would be Hands-Free Leads, which is another company. So we have a lot of things going on. Right. Each of these has VAs that run it. So we have a VA that runs for lead gen, and we have a VA that that is set up just for general admin. Mm-hmm. For example, onboarding, setting up the contract to sign for any amount of time for the business. Mm-hmm. And then obviously a VA to follow up with the individual to see if they've completed their tasks.
So. Right. Okay. So we got Buy More Time, Hands-Free Leads. Mm-hmm. What was the
profit? Rent for profit.
Live cash deals. Trusted cash offer. What happened for the Driving for Dollars one?
Driving for Dollars was an experiment. It's an experimental campaign, but it feeds into Hands-Free Leads.
Okay.
Yeah. So we do help people with Driving for Dollars.
Yeah.
And what we do is literally, it's kind of like it's a liaison to Buy More Time. We hook you up with a VA. Mm-hmm. So all you have to do is talk into your phone using Voxer, and a VA will take those addresses, skip trace them for you, send them back to you in the format you want it. So pretty sweet setup.
It is a sweet setup.
And it's not officially Drive for Dollars. We do have drivefordollarsnow.com, which if you go through there, we will set you up, but it's gonna be a Buy More Time or Hands-Free Leads product.
Okay.
I try to upsell you. So I want you to be on Buy More Time, but if you just want Hands-Free Leads, you get pretty cheap coaching consultations.
Okay, nice. And then what lesson would you want to teach today's young real estate entrepreneurs?
Quit your job and build a parachute on the way down.
Yeah.
Jump off the bridge and go. I've helped a couple people quit their job, and I won't name names, but they've made a name for themselves. Like they've done really well, and that I'm honored. I'm honored to be a part of that and help them.
Yeah.
I don't think anybody should be shackled to anything. I think we need, and you said for entrepreneurs, so you didn't say for the layman person.
Right.
You know, if you want to be a cashier, please be a cashier. Mm-hmm. If that makes you jive. I mean, if you want to be a bagger, please be a bagger.
If you're happy doing it.
If you're an entrepreneur, it's time to cut the strings and get very uncomfortable.
Yeah.
Be extremely uncomfortable. I mean, negative in the bank account is totally fine. Be very, very, very uncomfortable. So that's my biggest advice.
That's great. So I had someone big leave my office officially yesterday.
Wow.
And it was a great reminder of the people that care about you, because I had multiple people reach out to me like, hey, you know, Steve, I saw this, like, you're doing okay. I told everyone, like, I'm doing fine. Thank you for calling. But, you know, I'm not upset that he made that decision, because he did what he thought was best for him and his family, you know? And what I always tell people is, you got to do what's best for you and your family. My job is to make that work with me. But hey, if it's not, whatever, no big deal. But I can't get mad for a guy chasing his dreams, because just like you, I tell people to quit their jobs to chase their dreams.
I know. That's hard.
So I can't get mad if someone's like, oh, I'm going to go try to chase my dream over here.
You know what's interesting? And I'll be very candid. And I've been very open with both of these individuals, our two acquisition guys, Darren Bodle and Darian Owens. I've told them, and I'm telling you, if you're watching this, and you guys know this, I've already told you, you're not going to be with us forever.
Right.
You know, I told him, you're not going to be with us forever. We don't want you to be. Mm-hmm. Okay. If you want to be, great.
Right.
If you don't want to be, awesome. Because that's what we want. We want you to rise to another level.
Exactly.
Because I can still work with you on a higher level.
Yeah.
You know, if you leave and you become whatever, of a CEO of whatever company, well, great. I still want to work with you.
Right.
We'll find a way to work together.
Exactly.
Because I'm going to have something you need, and you're going to have something I want. So that's the type of mindset we have. We don't want to hold anybody down.
No, don't want to hold anybody back. We don't wish any ill will for anybody.
That's it.
Okay, and then, so what's the greatest lesson you have learned?
Patience. Mm-hmm. Patience. For me, I want it all now.
Yeah, you should talk to the other guy earlier who was saying he wants his business
flying
right now.
Yeah. I want it all now. I know, he just spoke, like literally just right here. I showed up and listen. I want it all right now. The biggest lesson I've learned is patience. Mm-hmm. I've learned that my wife is my rock.
Yeah.
She keeps me even. She keeps me on the straight and narrow. And she's my big reminder of patience. And if I can be patient, everything will work out. Now, it's funny. Gary Vaynerchuk talks about patience all the time. And I hated that word for a long time, because everyone's like, or I hated that word because it tells me just wait. Many people think patience is waiting. It's not waiting.
No.
It's earnestly accomplishing, or it's earnestly getting after what you need done while expecting the best result.
Yeah.
And if you don't get it, keep going. But right. expect the best result. So.
Interesting. I would add to that with my wife. I tell her all the time she doesn't like this role, but my job is to go out and cause trouble. And her job is to keep me out of it as much as she can.
There you go.
So just like, you know, your wife is your rock, my wife
absolutely.
Is mine too.
Yeah, without a doubt.
So what are you learning right now?
A couple things. Reading a book called Never Eat Alone. Love that book. And another book called The Leading Mind, which is neuroscience and business that got married. It's really cool. It's about sales, business, automation with neuroscience. The Leading Mind. That's what I'm learning right now. How to manage large teams without being a manager. Putting other people in place for you. Setting expectations and setting sub-expectations, because our large expectations are going to be long-term. Our sub-expectations will be short-term. And what happens when you don't reach that sub-expectation, that sub-goal? Okay. What do you do? A lot of PR, I used to freak out and blow up and what are we going to do about this? But you just create another one very similar to it and push for it. In fact, Entrepreneur Roller Coaster by Darren Hardy talks about that.
So can you give me an example of a goal and a sub-goal and one recently that you didn't reach and then you modified it?
Yep, absolutely. So we want to get about 10 appointments a week per acquisition guy. And that's going to be about two a day, so 2 to 3 appointments a day. We shoot for 3 appointments a day. If we don't make those appointments, then we got to reevaluate. We have a meeting, we talk about it, and we say, okay, what's a reasonable amount of appointments we can have in a week? And that works really well because the sub-goal is always changing. It's a variable.
Right.
But the long goal never changes. Notice that.
So how do you, if you're modifying, we're going from 3 to 1.5?
Yeah, so
we modify the goal from 3 to 1.5. How do we still hit the
once you've created an MVP, minimum viable product, you can say, hey, I finally made the sub goal. You have to say, great, now what's the next step to make it to the larger goal?
Okay.
So a larger goal shouldn't be a variable. So if you had a variable X, that could be your sub goal. Your large goal should be firm. It shouldn't change at all. So if you say, I want to make $1 million a month, that should never change.
Right.
And a lot of people, and the problem with the entrepreneurs is they change that. They lower that goal. They lower that standard. I think Grant Cardone talks about this in the 10X rule. They lower that standard, and that's wrong. Don't ever lower it. That should be up, or it should be even higher. But you should create sub-goals. And the reason why this one never changes, because that's your vision board.
Yeah.
That's your chin's always up, looking straight up at that goal.
Right.
Can't lower the big one.
Okay. Cool. And then how has failure shaped your life?
I've had some really low months, really low years. I think in those times, I reflect. When I fail, I close my door, which is a huge issue. Now, I'm getting very vulnerable. I'm going to tell you one of my biggest weaknesses right now. When I fail, I turn off social media. So whenever you see me turn off social media and I don't post.
And you're quiet for a while.
I'm quiet for a while. It's because I'm really upset. I'm really upset something didn't go my way. So when I fail in anything, I shut everything off, I close my doors, and I lock myself up. A lot of times I don't talk to my wife a lot. I talk throughout the day, I need to be better at that, but she knows when something's wrong, and she's a sweetheart for just being my rock and being there, serving me. I need to fix that. I need to change that. I haven't figured out how. In this last lull that I've had, I said, you know, screw it. Failure or victory, I'm going to go as hard as I can. If I fail at the end, awesome. If I win, awesome. I don't care the outcome. I'm just going to go as hard as I can. So
what I need to do is introduce you to Lizzie. She was the loan officer that we interviewed 2 Fridays ago. And she came into our office and gave a great class on what to do in cases of burnout. And you know, when you're producing at a high level and then you either burn out from producing at that high level or burn out because you're no longer hitting the same numbers before and you get super frustrated. And she deals with that same problem. So she studied it. She went deep dive on it. So you should connect with her because she kind of went through like this whole level. Like here are the levels of of burnout.
Yeah. I'm going to you tagged her. I'm going to reach out to her.
So you should reach out to her. That'd be a good connection. Is there any book that you've read that everybody needs to read?
Well, first of all, everybody knows I say this. I'm going to say it.
Say it.
He asked me.
Go for it.
The Book of Mormon. The Book of Mormon.
The play or the...
If you've seen the play, read the book. The book's 10 times better. There's like this campaign that the Mormon church ran with right after the play released, because it's a satire of our religion.
Of course.
We had this campaign that says, now that you saw the play, read the book.
Yeah.
And then Mormon.org. It was pretty cool. Like, talk about funnels. Like,
yeah,
we know
sure.
We know funnels. So
yeah.
The Book of Mormon shaped my life. It's funny. It talks about this story of a guy named Nephi who tried to go into Jerusalem three times.
Mm-hmm.
And the first two times he failed. The third time he made it. And this is in chapter one, or this is in the first book of Nephi. And it took three times to get what he needed accomplished done. He was trying to get the plates from Laban, who's a bad guy in Jerusalem, and he gets them and he brings it back to his father, Lehi, in the wilderness. So that book's taught me never give up.
Yeah.
There's so many instances. It's so funny. I think the Book of Mormon was written for entrepreneurs. Sorry, I'm like really dragging this
out. Oh, no, that's totally fine.
It was written for entrepreneurs, and I'm pushing my religion on you, so I'll baptize you later. but it's like stories of people that try and try and try, and then they ask for help from God, or if you're a believer in the universe, from the universe, whatever it is, and it finally get it because it's a direct reflection on how you can serve other people. So if your purpose is to serve and love other people, you're going to get what you want.
Right.
That's what that book taught me.
Very cool.
That one, worldly book, I guess I would say, is Never Eat Alone is really good. I'm reading a chapter right now called The King of Content.
Mm-hmm.
That's what it's called.
Okay.
Like, I want to be the king of content. I want to be the king.
Well, I think you're doing it.
I'm doing okay. It's a small niche we're in, but I want to create a blog. I don't have that. I need to build that. Our social media team and our content team need to be built out a little bit better. I'm going to fix it up, but yeah, Never Eat Alone. Definitely read it.
Okay. And if you need any help, I would say go to realestatedisruptors.com. That's like a model.
Yes.
That's for what a blog should look like.
Perfect. I'm going there.
All right.
Great company.
I'm going to send you a link, actually. It's going to have all the content. You kind of see how it looks.
Awesome.
Okay. And then what have you done that everybody should do?
Well, I think everybody should do CrossFit.
Okay.
I know you don't want to hear that.
Well, I've done it. I've done it, and I stopped it.
What everybody should do, I think they should do CrossFit.
Yeah.
CrossFit is this hell for about an hour.
Yeah.
And it's an hour of hell, and your mind is on fire.
Right.
What do you think about when your heart rate's at 180, and you're stressed out, and you're sweating, and minutes feel like hours, and hours feel like months?
Oh, yeah. When you're counting down on the row machine, like two more minutes, 30 more seconds. Oh.
It doesn't end.
Yeah.
And your heart's going to explode and fall to your chest and you're going to throw up on the floor. That has taught me so many lessons in life. I would say football, too. I played football in high school and just high school football. I know it was so long ago. It was almost like CrossFit. It's like, we're going to put you through hell through this amount of time. Let's see if you last.
Yeah.
And I'm learning my limit is... It gets greater and greater and greater. Started off doing only 3 pull-ups, and I'm doing 6, and I'm doing 10. Mm-hmm. You know, so when you can see it in your physical body, you can probably realize it in your wallet. You can realize it in your spirituality, in your family. So
that's really powerful. So I think that's probably a really good place to end this.
Cool.
So if someone wants to get a hold of you, what's the best way to do that?
I would say PM me on Facebook, but I got like a billion people I need to respond to. I would say PM me. You could tweet me at Andrew Investor. You can call me. I'm going to do it. 480-980-9022. If I don't answer you immediately, send me a text. That was suicide.
Or Voxer.
Or Voxer. Hit me up on Voxer. Andrew LeBaron. I have 2 profiles there, so depending on which one you hit up. So.
Awesome. Okay. So, and if you guys like this show, please, again, share this episode right now. And please join me next Wednesday at 2 o'clock. We got our good friend Brandon Simmons, who's personally moved 350 houses for over $4 million in fees. And don't forget to visit our website, realestatedisruptors.com. You'll find out about, you'll get the video replay of this, the audio replay of this, and then information about our upcoming events. So that's it. Thank you, guys. And thank you. That was awesome.
Heck yeah.